BizScoops is proudly produced by NewsScoop.
Good day to you and welcome to BizScoops for business news local and international. My name is Isabel Potgieter. On the show today, South Africa's inflation has edged slightly higher and the South African Revenue Service has introduced a boost for major diesel users. The economist Waldo Kriegel talks about the impact of the ceasefire between the US and Iran on the economy. In international business news, Apple has announced that John Ternus will take over as chief executive on 1 September. In investment news, Liquid Intelligent Technologies has significantly reduced its bond-related debt. And we talk to Sally Palmer of the business leadership platform Mavericks. South Africa's inflation has edged slightly higher, with the consumer price index rising to 3.1% in March from 3% in February. Month on month, prices increased by 0.6%. Housing and utilities, food and financial services were the biggest contributors. While goods inflation eased to 1.8%, services rose to 4.2%. The latest figures suggest price pressures remain contained overall, but essential living costs continue to drive inflation. The South African Revenue Service has introduced a boost for major diesel users, allowing a full 100% refund on eligible diesel used in farming, forestry and mining from 1 April. This replaces the previous 80% limit and follows a policy shift announced in last year's budget. The move aims to ease pressure on industries hit by rising fuel costs. SARS says its systems have been updated to process the new claims, while standard rules on documentation and submission deadlines still apply. And the International Monetary Fund, IMF, has cut South Africa's 2026 GDP growth forecast by 0.4 percentage points to 1% in its April World Economic Outlook. We ask Chris Harting of the Center for Risk Analysis what this means for our economy.
The International Monetary Fund has cut South Africa's 2026 GDP growth forecast by 0.4 percentage points to 1% in its April 2026 World Economic Outlook. That growth rate would be below the 1.1% achieved in 2025. The IMF's projection carries a pronounced downside. In its adverse scenario, where Middle East hostilities persist, energy infrastructure sustains more damage, global growth would be compressed to as low as 2% in 2026. South Africa confronts this challenging environment with significant vulnerabilities of its own. Growth in 2025 was driven almost entirely by household consumption expenditure, which grew 3.6% year-on-year. By contrast, gross fixed capital formation fell by 2.2%, a contraction that leaves fixed investment trapped at its very low current level of 15%. South Africa's 2026 growth story hinges on whether external shocks expose the consumption-led model for what it is, structurally fragile.
We now have the economist Professor Waldo Kriegel on the line with us. Professor Kriegel, what is the impact of the ceasefire between the US and Iran on the economy?
The markets are harder to read than the geopolitics. The oil price is very sensitive to any positive or negative announcement, but remains below $100 a barrel. The rand-dollar exchange rate strengthened from 16 rand 81 and traded last week between 16 rand 40 and 16 rand 30. This is not just our own resilience, but also a weaker dollar. The dollar is trading weaker against a basket of currencies, and it has to do with fears about inflation and slower growth in the U.S., The fact that President Trump has threatened to dismiss Fed Governor Powell in the period from when his term expires until his successor is appointed by Senate shows that his interference there is not over. Carla Scanlon offers an interesting perspective on why the American stock market pays so little attention to all the bad news. One possibility is that they believe that AI will solve all future problems. It will increase productivity and find alternatives to oil from the Gulf. The other reason is that market participants believe firmly that they will be rescued if things go wrong. Whether there's room to increase American inflation or to expand its national debt is something that economists debate. But as long as the markets believe that Kevin Warsh and the Trump administration will use these tools, the stock market stays on the boil and the bond market remains worried.
Thank you. That was Professor Waldo Kriegel, an economics professor at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Professor Kriegel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify and Anchor FM. Apple has announced that John Ternus will take over as chief executive on 1 September, replacing Tim Cook after 15 years in the role. Ternus, a longtime head of hardware engineering, has been with the company for 25 years. Cook, who has led Apple since 2011, will become executive chairman and assist during the transition. The leadership change comes as Apple faces pressure to innovate and expand beyond its reliance on the iPhone. Liquid Intelligent Technologies has significantly reduced its bond-related debt, introducing a new $300 million facility. It is about 4.9 billion rand. The purpose is to replace its earlier $620 million arrangement. The business, which forms part of Cassava Technologies, owned by Strive Masiyiwa, has long made use of bond markets to support its operations. The company has also secured a 210 million rand denominated term loan from a group of lenders, including Nedbank, RMB, Standard Bank, and the International Finance Corporation. This facility serves as a natural hedge against revenue generated in South Africa. To further strengthen its financial position, Liquid receives a $195 million capital injection from its parent company, Cassava Technologies. Before we say goodbye, we are joined by Sally Palmer of the business leadership platform Mavericks. Sally, last week you gave us an example of how a leader has implemented your system, how it changed his business, and the impact as well on his staff. Culture and people are part of your seven cornerstones. What does an energized culture actually look like in practice?
So first of all, an energized culture is a lived culture, a culture that people live and breathe in everything that they do. In reality, an energized culture comes to be when people are clear on what it is they've got to deliver, they understand how they are being measured, how they are being rewarded, and most importantly, they are aligned with what the business is intending to deliver. So it's the clarity, direction, and alignment, as well as clear accountability and agreed targets and agreed strategies that really make the difference, that multiply energy to deliver results.
One of your promises is to make profit and have fun. What needs to change in the way we lead to make it possible?
So a lot of this comes back to culture, but also it comes back to discipline. So in order to make profit, we have to be very disciplined in how we understand profit, how we measure profit, and understanding the gaps that we need to close between how much profit we're making versus how much profit we want to be making. So there's a balance between being very disciplined on our reporting and our stats and being objective about how we bring the business to account. Because when we are clear, we know where to put our energy as a team to go and close those gaps. Having fun is very much about having the freedom and accountability and empowerment to run your function or to run your business in the way you want it to be run. And this can only be done when we are clear on what it is that we want and where it is that we're going. When we don't know where we are and where we're going, it is not fun because we are blindly running through the woods, hoping and praying we'll find a way out.
And that was Sally Palmer of the business leadership platform Mavericks. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. My name is Isabel Potgieter. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by NewsScoop.